BGMblog.com podcast number 10.
It's May 2nd, 2011, and we got a handful of different subjects coming up on this. So we have the iOS apps, several of them on this episode, and I also am going to talk about the note-taking app area, which includes iOS apps and also their desktop equivalents for the Mac. I want to give a quick update on the PacificPelican.us/CMS app. It now creates text files as well as shortening URLs and also uploading files and displaying photos, linking to files. You can find more out about it at PacificPelican.us/CMS. Since the incident with the so-called Quick Bar, a lot of people have been searching for a new Twitter app for iOS. In a previous episode, I mentioned the Hootsuite iOS app, which I think is a very good Twitter app. It'll also link into Facebook and Foursquare, which I don't really use either of those very much. So I guess I would say it does hold up fairly well as a Twitter app, and you can use it as that. But I also have experimented with a few different ones lately, and I like both of these. There's TweetDeck. This is the iPhone app that's what they're calling their dark version, their version 2. It's a major change from previous iOS TweetDeck apps, and it has a nice, simple interface. It really lets you look at your tweets, and I like it. It's dark background and simple and easy to use. Another one that's becoming fairly popular with a certain set of users is Tweetbot. Tweetbot is a pay app, but it's only about $2, I think. It's a very cool interface. It makes quirky sounds, and it's pretty fun to use. Now, I liked it when I got it. The TweetDeck app came out, which I think is currently free. That one came out a little bit later, and I gotta say, I've been really gravitating toward the TweetDeck app. But they're both excellent, and I think that they're both really useful for maybe slightly different, but overlapping set of users. All right, so I did hear about the iPad apps that Adobe was releasing. They're talking about integrating CS5 with iPad, and it sounds very cool. But I'm not an iPad owner, and I don't really know how those apps work in practice. So I'm sure that a lot of people will be reporting on what they've done with that. But one of the apps that Adobe released, a little more under the radar, because there were so many apps that were released that involved the iPad and Photoshop CS5, that the iPhone app called Adobe Ideas was released, and it's basically a sketching app. It's very interesting. You just basically use your finger to sketch on the phone. It seems to kind of round your curves when you draw, but basically it's sort of like freehand drawing or sketching, and you can change the color and the size of the brush, as it were, and you can really make some very interesting designs with it. I was able to do a few things with it and have fun. I thought my wife Jessica made some very excellent drawings with it, but she's very artistically talented. So I think you might want to check out Adobe Ideas if you enjoy just sketching. It should be in the App Store. Now, having mentioned Adobe Ideas, I want to go to another app that involves, processing imagery. But this one does is it takes your existing photo that, say, you take with the stock camera app or an app like Pro Camera, and so it's on your camera roll. You go into this app called Monofix, MonoPhix. This app is a black and white effects app. Now, I know a lot of people enjoy black and white photography. There are techniques like those that were used in the yearbook back when I was in high school, of just using black and white film, so it would develop black and white no matter what. There's black and white developing. But of course, these days, a lot of people just like to use black and white as basically an effect that they process their previous photos with. So you can choose whether to turn a photo black and white. I think that's a great technique. But of course, the program you use to do that will have an effect. The tool they use will probably have an effect on the result based on its capabilities. So you want to find a good black and white photo filtering app, and I think getting Monofix is a worthwhile idea. So it gives you different tools to change different lighting scales. I guess you might say dark and light percentages, and it lets you adjust through meters left and right. You can just turn the effects up and down and the photo previews for you, so you can get a good idea of what kind of black and white effect you're going to use, and I definitely recommend if you enjoy that type of look. Now, I have one more photo app. Now, this photo app is actually a photo filtering app. It has a lot of different effects. It does actually have a camera app built in, but the camera app interface is average at best, a little subpar. But, I mean, you can always just use an app like Camera Genius or Pro Camera or the stock iOS camera app, and then just open the photo in this app called Picture Show. Picture Show is a very useful photo filtering app in the diversity of options that it has and the level of fun and interesting effects that you can use on your images. You can use image effects that, say, simulate photo films like blue cell, green cell. It has a filter to simulate lumographic photography and other types of things like that. It also has several different light leak effects. I definitely recommend giving this Picture Show a try.
Yeah, what is running?
Man, carrot cake's
not
good.
A dessert, that's an insult.
Carrot cake's pretty good. I used to think the same thing until I tried this one carrot cake. Oh my goodness.
Well, that clip is from the Kernel Panic Oddcast, episode 28. Carrot cake. Well, I have just a few more iOS apps, but I do want to mention them. Algorithm DJ, they have an app that DJAY. They let you load songs right from your iTunes library, so songs you have on your phone, say on your iPhone that you might be, you know, listening to, and have synced into your library. You can load up the turntable style interface and play music, and it definitely is a very fun kind of app. I definitely enjoy it as someone who enjoys playing music. You actually can see me using it, although the music that appears is actually overdubbed, although I don't know you'd be able to tell. I'm using it in video Jessica took that's in PacificPelican.us podcast 51. And I did want to mention that after a hiatus of several months, the PacificPelican.us podcast has another episode. You can find that the front page by going to PacificPelican.us/podcast. It's also on DJMblog.com. So I definitely check that out if you want to see a video, which Jessica and I we enjoy using video. We've been doing a lot of different stuff, music and audio, and a lot of photography lately. But we are doing more video now that we have some consulting work going on with that too. Well, I did have one more music app, and there's been many apps. This is a very cool one. I do want to mention MiniSynth. Now, MiniSynth is a few dollars by the way, I think all the apps I've mentioned are pay apps in this one, except Adobe Ideas and TweetDeck. MiniSynth is it simulates an old school synthesizer. I'm not a keyboard player, but I definitely enjoy using it. It sounds really cool. Maybe I was just listening to an old Bill Hicks interview on YouTube, but I feel like going on a little bit of a rant. Now, I listen to podcasts, as you can perhaps tell when I occasionally even clip podcasts for the show, when people say something I think is funny or interesting. You know what I don't find funny or interesting is when people do advertisements in the podcast, especially for certain products. And the product they really want to be specific about is Audible. They're a book on tape company, basically, owned by Amazon. I guess they have a different name for them, but it's books on tape. And part of the problem with putting an ad in a podcast is that it just becomes part of the content, inextricably, almost at least, in practical terms, interwoven into the substance of the podcast. Now, podcasts are often topical and news-oriented, and the bulk of their audience may be fairly soon after the podcast, but what if someone is listening years down the road? They're still going to hear that stupid ad. Audible is owned by Amazon, and they're obviously Amazon's a big company, and they have a lot of different stuff they do. So they're going to come into an area where they think they can advertise to an audience that they want to reach, people that like to listen to podcasts. They're listening to an audio cast of some kind already, so why not try to sell them audiobooks? Well, there's a site called Podiobooks, by the way, where you can get free ones. Now, of course, the selections will vary on different sites, and Audible might have a lot of fans, but aside from the basic problem of jamming undesirable advertisements into your podcast. And this is done by a wide range, from large podcasts like Leo Laporte from This Week in Tech, to Mike Duncan and his The History of Rome podcast, which is an excellent podcast. But they got to him, and I mean, I can understand people wanting to, you know, make some money off of their podcast, just cover their costs sometimes even. I'm not saying it's unethical. I'm saying it's very annoying, and I'm saying look what you are doing, not only to your podcast, but also look what you're doing to podcasting, specifically with Audible. Audible is selling a direct substitute product. They're selling you something that's an alternative to podcasts, an alternative to listening to the podcast you're listening to and other podcasts. And Amazon has the deep pockets to come in and do that. The question is, do podcasters really want to do that to podcasting? Well, if you want to follow some of the stories I'm talking about, including the upcoming story about note-taking apps, you might want to check out the show notes. You can find show notes to this and other podcasts at djmblog.com/tag/podcast. And if you have any feedback for the show, well, send us an email at podcast@sf3am.com. Well, the note-taking apps are something that a lot of iOS users think about, and some integrate into their daily workflow. The Evernote is one of the products that is gaining a pretty large following. It has a Mac desktop app. It has a web app where you can log on the web and view your notes, and also it has an iOS app. Now I've tried the Mac desktop app and the iOS app and the web app, and I've used it to prepare show notes for a few of the podcasts. I've been using the free account. They do have an upgrade to a pay account with more features and more storage. And when I'm done testing these different apps, I may use the pay app on Evernote. It's definitely something I'm considering. I like Evernote. It has a pretty good interface on all those platforms I was talking about. And it does allow syncing through all those platforms. So through their cloud service. So all you have to do is write your notes on your iPhone, and you can see them on your computer. It's easy to use for things like work notes, for tasks like daily tasks like a to-do list and shopping list, or it can be used on specific workflows involving text files that a lot of people have, especially people that work with computers a lot. So I definitely recommend taking a look at that. It has an alternative competitor called Simple Note. I tried that too. I tried their web interface, their iOS app, and a desktop app that they recommend to use to sync to it called Just Notes. I found that Simple Note was good. I consider it sort of a second best entry in this comparison. I thought it was pretty good, but I liked the interface and features better for Evernote. You can also look into Google Docs. It's not a direct competitor, but it has a lot of features as well. The idea of my Pacific Pelican iOS / CMS tool is that it presents a very simplistic feature set for a content management system. So it allows you to upload files, which can be photo files or just general files different containers, and it can also handle text files. That's the feature that I've just recently added, along with the fact that it also works as a URL shortener. Now, in order to store the data for the URL shortener, there's a folder that it stores a URLs text file that just lists the URLs along with their ID that the URL shortener uses. Similarly, the upload tool, when a photo or file are uploaded, a file of different sorts. When I said container before, I basically meant file ending. You can upload different types of files, like a .zip file, or, for example, a .xcf file, which can be used, which is a different type of image format. Any type of file that you have, but there's a special view handler for JPEGs. But in terms of the text file creation, the basic unit that's created in the text file creation portion of the Pacific Pelican iOS CMS is the basic unit is a single text file. The form that is used to create the file creates a text file in a directory on the server that the app is installed on, and this text file is then read in by the program to create the list of files, and it's read specifically on what I call the permalink page that allows the view of the contents of the file through the interface of the program. So in order to add content to your Pacific Pelican.us / CMS powered site, you can either use the form, the text file creation tool that you get to when you click on Create Post on the front page, on the main page of the app. Another thing you can do is you can just upload a .txt file in the format that the file created with the forms are created in, which is very simple. The first line is the URL that the text file was created for. The next line is the title. The next line, I believe, is the byline, and then the date. I might have those two confused. I'd have to double check. And then the next line is the first paragraph of the text file. So then after that it reads for any additional paragraphs in the text file. So you can create those, say, with the desktop text file creator app. So I wanted to recommend one that I really like. It's called gEdit. It's cross-platform, meaning you can use it on Mac OS X or Linux, and I think Windows as well. Definitely have really started to like writing code with that tool, especially when I write PHP code. Thanks for listening to the DJMblog.com podcast with me, Daniel J. McKeown.
Abi, abi, abi. Abi, ne oluyor? Ne diyor? Yo.